Friend, let's turn to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Now, in order for us to be saved, in order for us to be able to hear the gospel and obey and trust the Lord Jesus Christ alone, we must be cleansed. We must be washed from our sins. It's what we refer to as sanctification. We must be sanctified. We must be cleansed. We must be washed. And God is the only one that performs that work. He's the only one that performs that work. Now, we've seen here that the Lord's preparing Moses to go and preach His Word to the children of Israel who are in bondage. And God said when Moses went forth and declared the Word of God, God said, they will hearken to your voice. But what God meant is by the work that He performs in the hearts of His people, whereby He cleanses us of our defilement, creates in us a new heart, He meant by His work they're going to hearken to your voice. They're going to hear my word. But Moses thought it was by his own voice that they would hearken, or by their own power that they would hearken. And because that's what he was thinking, he didn't believe God. Look here in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they'll say, the Lord's not appeared unto thee. That's what we think. That we doubt God when we look to ourselves and think that we will perform something. God wasn't saying Moses was going to accomplish this. He was saying he would, by cleansing His people. And so the Lord gave three signs. Three signs. By these three signs, the Lord shows us in type how He makes His Word effectual. This is how He made His Word effectual in Moses. This is how He made it effectual in the children of Israel. It's not by Moses' ability, it's by God's sovereign grace. That's what He shows in these three signs. And when God works in us, that's which these signs typify, that's when we will hearken and believe God and believe on Christ. Now, the first sign was the rod of God. It was a sign of God's power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It was a sign of God's power to reveal the Lord our righteousness through the preaching of Christ. That was the first sign. We saw that last week. Now, today we'll focus on the second sign. Now, it involved Moses' hand becoming leprous and then clean again. Now, I've titled this, The Leprous Hand Cleansed. And the leprous hand cleansed typifies the cleansing from sin which God alone performs for and in His people. This is the cleansing from sin that God alone performs in and for His people that we see typified here in what's taking place, this second sign. Let's read it together. Exodus 4, verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now... let me stop. Let me read that again. And the Lord said. The Lord said. It was by the word of the Lord. The Lord said unto Moses, put now thine hand into thy bosom, by your heart. Put it in where your heart's at, in your jacket, where your heart's at. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, the Lord said, the Lord spoke, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and he plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. It was clean. And God said, it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. If they don't believe the voice of the first sign, they'll believe the voice of this sign. God said. Now, first of all, we have a lesson concerning our sinfulness. Now, in Scripture, leprosy is presented to signify our sin. That's what leprosy represents in Scripture. At your leisure, I encourage you to read Leviticus 13 and 14. That's where God talks about leprosy and what must be done with the leper and how he can be cured and that sort of thing. I'd encourage you to read it. What you find there is leprosy begins with one little spot that appears harmless. One little spot that appears harmless. That's how it starts. Well, in the garden, when Satan tricked our mother Eve, he made it seem harmless to her to eat of the fruit of the tree which God had forbidden. It just seemed like one little harmless spot for her to eat of that tree. But that led to our father Adam eating of that tree, by which all mankind became lepers, spiritual lepers, dead in sin. Another thing about leprosy is it spread rapidly through a person. And it was contagious, so that it spread rapidly throughout the whole tribe. Sin entered by one man, but it spread rapidly. Scripture says, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For in Adam all have sinned. Sin is contagious like leprosy. It spread throughout all mankind. And then leprosy was such a dreaded disease because it ate a person entirely. It ate up a person entirely. And that's what sin does to us. It entirely devours a man. We come into this world entirely eaten up with sin, ruined in sin, dead in sin. Listen to the Scripture. It's written in the Scripture, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a single person born in this world righteous. We died in Adam. We sinned in Adam. We became guilty in Adam. There's none that understandeth. Nobody even understands who God is or how God saves by nature. There's none that seeks after God. Nobody. By nature, nobody seeks after God. In all their religion, they're not seeking God, not the true God. They are all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one person does good. We look at things and we say, well, that was good. God looks at it and says, no, it wasn't. It was not good. You see, God's standards are not our standards. Sin has lowered our standards of what we think is righteous and good, and lowered God's standard. God says there's not one good. And as far as man's ability, leprosy was an incurable disease. He could not cure himself. And sin is incurable. You see how it's such a good picture? God said, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil. We can't change this deadly disease in us. So leprosy was a good picture of sin. So to teach Moses that this work of cleansing God's people will not be by Moses' own hand, not going to be by Moses' hand that his people are going to be cleansed. And to teach Moses this, God very quickly shows Moses what his hand is due to his fleshly heart. He shows him what his hand is due to his fleshly heart. That is, helpless in sin, ruined in sin, leprosy. We're lepers in sin. And that's what our hands are. Look here, verse 6. The Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Now, Moses' hand didn't make his heart leprous. Moses' heart made his hand leprous. That's important. You hear what I said? Moses' hand didn't make his heart leprous. His hand was clean. But when he stuck it in by his heart, when he pulled it out again, his heart had made his hand leprous. In Christ's day, the entire religious world had that backwards. And in our day, the entire religious world has that backwards. Because man, by nature, is backwards. Unless God sets us upright, we're backward. We're upside down, and we'll get it all upside down. The Lord said, it's not the hand that defiles the heart. It's the heart that defiles the hand. What makes a man's outward works be defiled? His inward heart. Listen. Now, go with me. Mark 7. I want you to see this. Mark 7, 21. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Look here. The Lord said this. For from within. Now, let's read verse 20. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Did you get that? That which comes out of the man defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men. Where'd Moses put his hand? God said, put your hand in there by your heart. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. And here they are. Adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. And they defile the man. Now, be sure to understand what that verse meant. All these evil things are not simply evil acts that we do now and then. These are the evil thoughts that come from our old fleshly man, and they're the only thoughts that come from our old fleshly man. That's all that comes from us by nature, is what you just read. That's it. That's all that comes from our flesh. In Genesis 6:5, when the Lord was going to destroy the world, He said, "The Lord says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now listen to this, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's all you and me produce of ourselves. That's it." That's it. Therefore, outward reformation of life, changing your outward conduct, it doesn't make the heart clean. It doesn't make the heart new. A profession in religion doesn't make the heart clean. God must cleanse and give a new heart. He must do that. And now get this. How did Moses behold that his hand was leprous? What made him see that his heart was leprous and therefore his hand was leprous? What made him see this? God said. It was by the word of God that he was made to see this. God spoke it. And what we see this morning, the only way you're going to see the sinfulness of your heart is for God to speak and make the commandment come alive and make you hear what the law says about you. You see, Moses is going forth to declare the word of the Lord. And so the Lord shows here, it's not going to be by your word, Moses, that's going to cleanse them and make them see themselves in need of me to save them. It's going to be by my word, showing them what their heart is. He has to cleanse us to see that we're sinners. So here's the first lesson. No sinner's able to cleanse ourselves. Because we're just lepers by nature. And we can't cleanse anybody else that God sends us to declare the word to. Not at all. That's God's work. Remember Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we've done. We didn't change our outward conduct and become clean. If you're down on I-40 and you're driving across the state of Tennessee, you're going to cross the Tennessee River over near Knoxville and the water's going to be running south. You're going to cross the Tennessee River again over at Jackson, halfway across the state, and the water over there is running north. Same river's running north, but it's the same muddy water that was flowing south that's just flowing north. See, you can change directions. You can reform your life. You can put away outward sins and those things. That hadn't made the muddy water clean. God's got to give you a clean heart. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing the cleansing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which was shed on us abundantly through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now secondly, God alone makes His people clean. That's what I just read in Titus. God alone does it. Now let's see it here, Exodus 4:7. And He said, God said, Exodus 4:7, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And He put His hand into His bosom again, and He plucked it out of His bosom, and behold, it was turned again as His other flesh. It was clean now. Again, it was not His hand that made, it was not His hand that made Moses' hand clean. His hand was made clean because his heart had been made clean. And God was made to, Moses was made to see this by God's word, by God speaking. God had already created a new heart in Moses, else he wouldn't have been a child of God believing God. We don't believe God until God's put a new heart in us. God had already done that in Moses. And so at God's command, Moses was made to behold that because God had made his heart clean, now his hand was clean. That's what he's teaching him here in this sign. Because his inward man had been made clean, now his hand's clean. You know that the Lord spoke to the Pharisees and He said, you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter. That is, you reform the outside of your life. You get all cleaned up outside where men can see. But within, you're full of extortion and excess. In other words, the heart's defiled. It's sinful. And He said, He said, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter. That's got to be cleansed first. And the outside of them may be clean also. You clean the heart, then the outside will be clean. But the inside's got to be clean first before the outside can be clean. Now, Christ declares that. He declares that. Then the outside will be clean. But now, don't misunderstand this. Christ is not saying by that word that you and I have the power to cleanse the inside. Even though He told them to do that, God tells us often in Scripture to do things that we have no ability to do. The whole law of God was given, and God said, keep this, and I'll bless you with all these blessings. It never meant they had the ability to do it. And that's where religion gets this wrong. They say, well, God wouldn't have given a law unless we had the ability to keep it. Oh, no. God's the whole reason God gave it was to show that you can't keep it. Do you realize responsibility does not mean ability? When you next time your bank account's flat broke, you have the responsibility to pay all your bills, but you won't have the ability to do it. Responsibility doesn't mean ability. Yes, we're responsible to serve God in perfect righteousness, but we do not have the ability to do it. So God, Christ wasn't telling them that you and I have the ability to make our heart clean. He was just stating that's what's got to happen first. The heart's got to be made clean before the hand will be clean. Just like it's not the hand that defiles the heart, it's not the hand that cleans the hand. It's got to be the heart made new. God's got to do that. Christ said, either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit will be corrupt. The tree is known by the fruit. In other words, the fruit produced comes from the heart within. We must be made a new tree. We must be made a tree of righteousness. So knowing a sinner is unable to cleanse himself, then how are we going to have this new clean heart? How are we going to have it? It's by a twofold work that God performs through Christ, through the Holy Spirit. We just read it. By washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, and that is shed through the Lord Jesus Christ, the work Christ did for us. So first of all, the Lord Jesus had to do a work for His people in order to make us clean. He had to do a work for us before we could be made clean. And then that grace shed abundantly upon us is through that work which Christ did for us. But that work has to be done first. God commanded in the law, you'll read this in Leviticus 13 and 14, He commanded that a leprous man had to come to the high priest. And that's where we've got to come to. We've got to come to Christ, the high priest, because we're lepers. We can't be cured any other way than Christ the high priest. And that's what it meant. That's what it typified. And listen to this now. The first step in cleansing a leper in the law, the first step was that the high priest alone, nobody else, just the high priest, he made offerings for the leper. He made some offerings for the leper. Christ Jesus is the high priest, and Christ Jesus is the offering made for lepers like us. That's right. He's the high priest, and he's the offering made for lepers. Now get this. This was, now you'll read this if you read Leviticus 13 and 14. Now this was all in type. It was a type. It was a picture. Now get this. A strange picture. A clean bird was made a leper in type. A clean bird was made a leper in type. And when it was slain. This bird was slain. And all his blood was drained out into a fountain. And then they took another bird that was clean. And they dipped that entire bird in the blood. And brought him out. And let him fly away. And that clean bird flew away with that bird, with that blood all over him. And he flew up into the sky. Now the picture in that, brethren, is just like Moses was clean, his hand was clean, and then when he stuck it in, it became leprous. Well, Christ was clean. He's the clean bird. Christ came into this earth. He was clean. No sin. Did no sin. He was not born of a man, so he was not sinful in nature. And he never committed sin, and he would not commit sin. Holy. Righteous. But Christ, Jesus, willingly submitted himself to God, who made him the leper. He made him the leper. Just like that clean bird in type was made the leper. But Christ, it wasn't a type. Christ was made the leper. He made him sin for us who knew no sin. And he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And so there is the blood that was shed. Now, in that law, God required that the leper be put outside of the camp. He could not be inside the camp with the rest of the people. He had to be put outside of the camp, forsaken, and left alone. Listen to it. Leviticus 13:46 says, "All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He's unclean, and he shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." Now listen to Hebrews 13:12. What was God picturing by that? Why did God say the leper had to be forsaken and dwell outside of that camp? Hebrews 13:12 says, "The Lord Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, cleanse the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate," without the camp. When he was made sin, when he was made the leper, in place of his people, Christ suffered without the gate. Out on that hill called Golgotha on a cross. And worse than that separation was, God forsook him for 3 hours. When sin was found on him, the just judgment of God required that Christ be forsaken in order that God's justice be upheld. And that's what he suffered. He suffered being forsaken without the camp by everybody, by man and by God. But when justice was satisfied, oh, I like this picture, the clean bird that was dipped in his own blood flew away. He didn't stay in the grave. He ascended to the Father. Our high priest went into the holiest of holies with his own blood, having cleansed his people, having washed his people in his own blood. Revelation 1:5 says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Look at Zechariah 13. Zechariah 13:1. Zechariah 13:1. In that day, when you read in that day, I'll say most of the time because I haven't looked this up for certain, but almost every time, and probably every time, When you read in that day, it's talking about in Christ's day, when Christ hung on that tree and ascended to the Father. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. You know, we sing, there is a fountain filled with blood. That's where we get it. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. How are we going to be made to plunge in that flood and trust Christ alone? How are we going to do that when our hearts defile? Look at this. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. Not just cut them off out of the literal land, but cut them off out of the land of our flesh. Watch this. And they shall no more be remembered. They won't be worshipped anymore. And also I'll cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. When are you going to hear that a man that you thought was so dearly loved you and was preaching the gospel, when are you going to hear that that man is a false prophet, has been lying to you the whole time? When God applies this blood and cleanses our hearts, that's when we'll find it out. When God makes that unclean spirit pass out of us, when Christ binds the strong man and spoils his goods, that's when we're going to find out that these men are false prophets. And then we'll hear God. Then we'll see that fountain of Christ's blood and plunge ourselves in it through faith. Now that's the work the sinner must have performed upon us. We saw the work Christ did for us, but there's a work that has to be done upon us or within us. And the blood has to be applied to the leper by the high priest. After they did all that cleansing in the law in Leviticus 13 and 14, the high priest took the blood and oil, picture of Christ's blood through the oil of the Holy Spirit. And the high priest applied that blood to the right ear and the right thumb and the right toe. That means the hearing is now, you can hear now. That means you can, your hands purified, you can do what God said, and your foot's purified. Now you can walk the way God says walk. In other words, your heart's been made new. Entirely made new. But it was by that word being applied. Just as God spoke the word and Moses found out he was a sinner, that his hand was leprous because of his heart, God speaks and may find out that it was God who made his heart new, and that's why his hand was clean. You see, just God, the commandment's got to come to make you see you're a sinner, and the commandment's got to come to make you see you're clean. It's the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us through the work of Christ Jesus our Lord. This is when God cuts off the names of the idols, when he applies the blood. This is when he makes you hear the false prophets are really false prophets when he's applied the blood. And so God showed Moses by this sign that none of this was, his people wasn't going to be made to hearken because Moses was speaking. And they wasn't going to hearken because they just found it in their heart to believe. God is showing here, I'm going to speak and make them see they're unclean, and I'm going to speak and make them see that I've cleaned them. Now, here's the last thing. Remember how this is going to be accomplished in the children of Israel. God's sending Moses forth to preach it. Sending Moses forth to speak God's word and declare God's name. And God said, this is the work I'm going to do. And so what we're seeing here is, this is a picture of how God applies this whole thing through the preaching of the gospel. Look here at Exodus 4:8. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. When God creates a new heart, when he cleanses us, gives us a new heart within his child, Christ then speaks to us through the preaching of the gospel. And after he's spoken and he's made the commandment come and he's made you see that you're a leper because your heart's just full of leprosy, full of sin. That's all you are by nature. And you see your hands defiled. Then he speaks in this gospel and makes you see he's given you a new heart and he's cleansed you. Listen, what did Christ say? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You see, it wasn't by Moses' voice. It won't be by my voice. Moses was used as an instrument in God's hand. But it's Christ's voice that speaks this. It was God who said, Moses, stick your hand in your bosom, and it became leprous. It was God who said, stick your hand in there again, and it became clean. And it's got to be Christ that tells us you're a sinner, and Christ that tells us, I've cleansed you. I've cleansed you. And He declares to us now, we're delivered. When He does this, then we're delivered out of our bondage. That's what was going to happen to the children of Israel. And when He's done this for us, we're delivered out of that bondage of not being able to believe God, not being able to hearken to His Word. Now we have the liberty, because we've been cleansed, to believe Him and trust Him. And we can have communion with Him. Let us draw near with a true heart. That's a new heart. In full assurance of faith, trusting Christ alone who did it all. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We've been cleansed. Now God can receive you. You see that? So, now we saw how Christ said that when the inside is cleansed, the outside will be too. Remember that? Christ said when the inside of the cup is clean, the outside will be clean. When the tree is made good, the fruit will be good. You see, it was the hand plucked out of the bosom that made Moses to behold what was within. Both times, the hand plucked out of the bosom made him see what was within the bosom. Left with our defiled heart, the sinner will only bring forth a defiled hand. He'll deny his ruined, lost condition. That's what I'm talking about. When I say he'll bring forth a defiled hand, the fruit he'll bring forth, left with a defiled heart, will be to deny he is a sinner, to deny he is unclean and defiled, and it will be the fruit of putting on a disguise to try to disguise his leprosy. And that's what religion is all about. Religion is all about teaching you how to be a garment maker, teaching us how to weave a garment for ourselves out of fig leaves and hide the fact that we're lepers. That's what religion is teaching. And left with a defiled heart, that's what a man will keep on. He'll just keep weaving out his little robe to wear his disguise, because that's the only kind of fruit that the defiled heart will produce. When Moses pulled that hand out, when God was showing him the defilement of his heart by nature, the nature that's in him, all he brought out was a defiled hand. That was the fruit that was produced. When that tree's corrupt, the fruit it's going to produce is corrupt fruit. But when God's gospel comes and God speaks the word and He makes the heart clean, applying the blood of Christ to us, the fruit that's going to be produced then is a clean hand. Like as Moses stuck his hand in and it was clean the second time. Now God's showing He's put a new heart in. And the fruit that's going to come from that tree is going to be good fruit. What's that good fruit? First of all, man's going to come out of the darkness, out of his disguise, and he's going to come into the light of Christ, and he's going to confess to God, I am a leper. I'm a sinner. Remember when that leper came to Christ, and he fell down before Christ, and he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. That's going to be the fruit that's produced. It's called repentance. And God works that fruit. And the second fruit that's going to be produced, it runs right with it. It's a two-sided coin, and that's faith. Faith. Declaring, all my cleansing, all my sanctifying has been done by the blood of Christ alone, by His work on the cross, applied to me in my heart by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. That's going to be the fruit produced. And from then on now, there's going to be some other fruit that's going to be produced. It's going to be this. God's going to send you forth to declare the gospel. And you're going to go forth and you're going to declare the gospel. Why? That's the fruit He produces. Is to preach His marvelous works and what He's accomplished. Because the heart's been made clean. And that's what a man will do. That's the fruit that will come forth. And that's what God is showing here. He's telling Moses now. Moses, this is what He did to Moses in the process of showing him this sign. He cleansed that defiled heart. He turned him from trusting his fleshly nature, thinking he was going to be done by the work of his hand, and made Moses see, Moses, God's going to do this work. And that's what He does in our heart. And when he does that, when he gets done, Moses goes on forth then and declares the word, trusting God would do what he said. And you know what we do when this word's been applied to us? We'll start declaring his glory. We'll start declaring his works and his accomplishment for his people. And I think it's interesting. Go to Matthew 10. I want you to see this. I'll close with this. Matthew 10. You know, when Christ sent forth his disciples to preach, he told them to go forth preaching, and he told them to do this, and this that he told them to do is a picture of what Christ does through the preaching of the gospel, through the declaration of all God's marvelous works fully accomplished for his people. This is what he does through this gospel. He told them right here, Matthew 10:8. He said, go forth and preach, and this is what he said, do. This is what he does through that preaching. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. That's what's going to happen through the preaching of the gospel. He'll heal the sick, he'll cleanse the lepers, he'll raise the dead, he'll cast out devils. He said, freely you've received, I did this freely for you. Now you go forth and give this word that I might do it freely for others. See? Only way. So now Moses can go forth because he knows how lepers are going to be cleansed now through the word of the gospel. That's why we preach Christ and him crucified. That's why we don't preach man's works. That's why we're not telling men to try to cleanse themselves by the work of their hand. God alone cleanses his people. That's the lesson in the leper's hand cleansed. I pray God teach that to all of us. Cleanse our heart. Teach us that. Amen.